Tonight, we'll catch up with the Tribune political cartoonist Scott Stantis. But first, we chat with Brandon Weatherby and Esmeralda Leon about their live podcast, You, Me, Them, Everybody. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us Pretty Late after the Blackhawks wrapped up that four games. They just swept them. Just the broom went whoosh. I don't know if that's also my cutting noise, by the way, but that's also the sweeping noise. Rob Martier up in the newsroom, when there's a game like that, are you half covering the news, half watching the Blackhawks, or is it more Blackhawks?
I'd have to say it's probably like a 90-10 split.
Yes.
90% watching the Blackhawks.
Well, especially
10% watching the news.
Especially with a game that ramps up so much. It was like 1-0 for a while, then it was 2, and then at the end, bang, bang, bang. That's what it seemed like.
Well, hey, look, credit the Minnesota Wild. Mm-hmm. Down 4-1, pull the goalie on the power play, get the extra attacker, score, it's 4-2. Mm-hmm. They keep the goalie on the bench, they score again, making it 4-3. That game could have easily been tied up, but the Blackhawks managed to have the clock on their side.
Rob, that is news. So it's not like you're ignoring the news. You're watching the news happen.
That's so true.
That's right.
See how she did that? And by the way, I don't know if Laura Vaughn has a handle on this or if anybody else can explain to me why on a day like today, traffic is so much worse during the day. Is it just everyone's just rolling along so happy with their windows rolled down? Just, I don't get it.
Well, Lakeshore Drive is always extra bad when the weather's nice. And I don't know what time of the day were you driving.
It was at 4 o'clock. So it was.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wanted to get home to see the game.
That's true. And I was told, Esmeralda was telling me earlier, that Thursday
is the new Friday. It's true. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Rob, do you feel that that's the case for us? We don't have that kind of week.
All I know is that I experienced an inordinate amount of traffic on my way in.
You could have picked me up on the way, by the way.
I should have.
Yes.
We could have carpool.
Yeah,
that would be one less car on the expressway.
It would have made little difference.
Well, I'm not too worried about sure. the hole I'm punching in the ozone. I just wanted to get to work.
Yeah, at least we would have kept each other company. Craig, you should have seen how many convertibles there were on the Kennedy with Ooh. Guys with stogies, like middle-aged.
Wait, what? They're just smoking their
well,
cigars?
Well, there was one guy in a convertible, and I was like, okay, why do you drive a convertible and then the side windows are rolled up?
I hate that.
I don't
know. Any less wind in your hair? I don't know.
Well, that was okay. My other point, and please take this in the way it's intended. It's just an observation. The men that I saw in convertibles also seemed to be a little bit lacking in the follicle area. So I don't know that wind is really a problem for their hair.
Overcompensating, then you're saying.
I don't know. I don't know why. I wasn't sure if it was a chicken and an egg situation. Do they have less hair because they've been driving around in convertibles?
Right. Does the wind actually make you lose your hair? That's a good question.
Or do they like being convertibles because it doesn't bother their hair? Hmm. So
tough.
That's how slow traffic was moving. I was next to several convertibles.
You were judging. You were like,
Contemplating.
A midlife crisis.
Yes.
You were in a convertible, Patty, since you do have a lovely set of flowing locks, do you get annoyed by the hair movement?
If I'm not going anywhere important.
Okay.
Right? If I don't, and my writing partner, Kevin, will often drive with the windows rolled down in California. So, my hair's just blowing all over the place. I'm like, this is not going to work for me at the next meeting.
Do you have hairspray with you then?
That doesn't help. Okay. I have a lot of hair. I have a lot of hair. Well, Rob Martier, you have a lot of hair. Do you enjoy riding in convertibles?
You know what? There's so much product in my hair, it's not going anywhere.
It's not. It doesn't move. It's just, can I knock on it? That sounded strange.
You can touch my hair later if you'd like.
Yeah, it was the Stogies, convertibles, guys with just receding hair. Not even receding, just full on.
They can't be driving with any kind of necessity to get anywhere then. They're probably driving very slow.
It did seem to be sort of I'll get there when I get there attitude.
Maybe that's it too. Yeah. They're trying not to extinguish their Stogie by rolling up, you know what I mean? Ash would blow around if you had the windows down.
Traffic is usually the fault of bald convertible driving Stogie smokers.
On nice days.
Is that
days.
What you're saying? Okay.
On beautiful days like today.
I had no idea. Now I know who to blame.
Yes. And they're weaving back and forth across all lanes of traffic. That's why it holds everybody up. It was horrible traffic today.
Wow.
I think we all can agree to that. But it was beautiful weather. The Blackhawks won.
Oh, lovely.
I'm gearing up to go back to Springfield next week. So Senator Gutowski told me yesterday that the weather was nice down there. So apparently, it's maybe 10 degrees warmer in Springfield, would you say? I don't know. It seems like it's
closer to the equator.
It's 3 hours closer to the equator. Now, Rob, did you get a chance to listen to any of the audio from Governor Rauner's address for City Hall?
I did not listen to the whole thing. I heard excerpts, and then obviously I read what went down. I thought it was It was interesting, to say the least.
Oh, it was actually interesting.
Oh, that's right. Yes, because he likes to drop the G's now these days, which we got into a bit of a debate up here in the newsroom as to why people in front of certain audiences feel as though they then need to speak in a certain manner. Are they trying to be more relatable? Because I'm thinking to myself, everybody knows you're a billionaire from the North Shore.
Right.
Just speak like we expect you to speak.
Right. And why would City Hall need him to be folksier? I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah, I mean, you're standing there in front of 50 aldermen. You've got the mayor. Everybody, you know, their eyes are on you. You had an opportunity to, you know, basically lay out your agenda like you have never done before, and he missed it.
And then he said that if in order for Chicago to get what it wants, Illinois has to get what it needs. I'm not really sure.
See, and it's that cryptic type speech when we all know what he wants to do that continues to get him into trouble. And we've talked about this before, Patty. You know, you go back to, you know, what you fought for and that $26 million to get reinstated for very vital programs. Yet he just seems to kind of bob and weave around the issue. Just spell it out.
Right. Well, and I think he has part of his agenda running was, you know, to cut social services, to let the tax hike lapse as it has, so that there's a little bit less revenue. And we have a pension burden that everyone alludes to. And a lot of people think that I'm blaming Governor Rauner for what's happening. And then they say, well, he inherited this. And we can go back and forth on that for the last 70 years as to the underfunding for state funds for employees. But, you know, the choices that he's making and the manner in which he's executing it seems a little bit strange. Did you see what happened yesterday with Madigan basically saying we up and down vote on this? We're going to talk about that a little bit later, but there's a lot of political theater that seems to be going on down there, which is kind of why I'm looking forward to going back. Rob, you got to come down with me sometime to Springfield.
I think that would be great.
I think that, I mean, they were so excited in the Capitol that WGN was in the house. It was sort of surprising. NPR's got a little office there.
Plus, I think Senator Dan owes me a beer.
I believe you're right about that. I think we can make that happen. It's just we'll get on Amtrak. Oh, you know, you can share my Comrex. You can do news. All right. I think we should do that. So, I'll be in Springfield next Tuesday and Wednesday evening doing the show. Unless something happens that's exciting, I may stay for the Thursday night, Craig. I don't know. I may be doing it from Amtrak. Anything could happen.
It sounds like Scott Stantis is going to be down there too. I think he told us
in 2 weeks he will be down there. Yeah, it's and again, we really have to get our program going with how to talk to your legislator. And I think we're going to start with having some of the reps and senators in studio. By the way, is it weird to call someone a rep, or do I have to say representative when I'm talking to them?
Yeah, you can call them a state rep.
Say, hey, state rep.
You know, I love the fact that you're doing this, Patty, and I genuinely do, because we get into these venues where when a state rep, senator, federal level, you know, bureaucrats come in, all of a sudden we clam up. But we need to continually remind ourselves these people work for us.
Yeah, they answer to
you. We're their bosses.
Yeah, when they see you at church or on the playground or at the grocery store, they should remember what's important to you and they should take that with them to the Capitol. And as Senator Katowski said the other night, put it on your calendar. Have I checked in with my legislators? You know, whether it's emailing or calling or visiting their office, going down to Springfield, these are all options open to you. You are listening Pretty Late, and it's a beautiful night in Chicago. It's warm. It's the warmest day of the year, and I don't think there's a better way to welcome warmth than it's really the best intro I could get for you, Brandon Weatherby. That's what I've got for you.
I feel like I'm in grade school again.
I know. If I look outside, I see Brandon.
That's much more pleasant than grade school was, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Wow, what happened in grade school? It sounds like you've got scars, wounds even.
Yeah, I've grown over those. I'm fine. I'm an adult
man. You have healing to do?
I realized I just talked over your intro, and I apologize.
No, Esmeralda Leone, I don't even have a chance to introduce you because you are also a critical part of this interview. I've actually been to your show at the Hungry Brain. Was I at the last one?
Yes, you were.
Yes, you
were.
The
Putter Boss Sisters?
You scared me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why?
Just because I saw you at the corner of my eye and I didn't expect you to be there.
It's like seeing a teacher in the mall.
Oh. Oh,
I mean, not really that bad.
I've developed a new skill that seems to be startling people, which is lurking. I just show up places because because my hours are so weird, I can't really ask anyone to go with me. I never know till the last minute that I'm going to be someplace.
Sure.
So I just pop up, and I've been experiencing that
from other
people.
Yeah, and I didn't expect you to be there at all, so the fact that you were there, I was like, oh, gosh.
I think in your
I have to do better now.
I think in your... No, you were doing fantastically.
Are you confusing with living a life alone as lurking?
Yes. I think that people who live alone often lurk.
Oh, that's...
In the shadows.
That's a shame.
It's all right.
You just isolate an entire demographic.
I like surprising people.
That's a much better...
There you go. Well, rather than lurking.
And sadly, I'm married with children, so I shouldn't feel that I'm living a life alone. It's just that they all sleep while I'm doing other things. I do. On Saturday nights, I just go out and I see shows. I go out to dinner by myself. I do. That's how I live.
That's cool.
It's a little... I should probably tell my husband I'm doing
No,
that.
You shouldn't. No, all right, if then. He doesn't listen, that's on him. If he can't figure
thing.
Out what's
he
going
knows.
On.
He knows. Everyone go. He and the boys go to bed, and I say I'm going to go see Vamp at MCL, or I'm going to see Cupid Players over at Stage 773. Saturday night, I'm going to go see Dwayne Kennedy at the Whip Theater. And I'm going to go see your show. I am. Do you see how this worked? See
nice
how I
brought, transition.
Yes, brought this all full circle.
Although,
to
isn't
you.
It all ages? Bring the kids.
Oh. Yeah, you can bring the kids. And it's relatively
like, no.
early, too. It's
this
a 7
is my
p.m.
Time.
Start. It'll be bright outside.
How am I supposed to have a Grand Marnier with...
This is mommy's time.
This is mommy time.
It's still BYOB.
Oh, I'll bring my Grand Marnier.
Yeah.
Where is the show going to be?
At Saki Records.
So, why do you sound so giddy? Like, it sounds absurd.
It's a record store.
It's a record store.
Okay.
I'm not talking down. Why am I talking down? I love the record store. It's a great record store full with very nice people that are living below. That's a mean thing to say. They're great people. They're just living below their station. Like, they deserve better.
I thought you said below the radar, because that would have sounded
sure,
cool.
Sure, that's also Probably. True. They're in West Logan Square, 3716.
They should lurk with me if they're flying below the radar.
They can't afford to hang out with you. Okay, they're selling records for their life.
I don't even
records
know how
that
works.
Records that have, like, they're very obscure records. What I saw it? Them.
I've never heard of this.
I was like, I have no clue who these people
are. No, they're a lovely, lovely group of people.
No, it's great.
That's sincere.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they have a record store, I think, is very cool. And the fact that they sell records that aren't, you know...
Familiar with
them.
A niche. They fill a niche.
People love hearing dead air.
No, I was trying to think. I was trying to think of a contemporary artist.
Listening to listening to Esmeralda think is one of my favorite things, by the way.
So just, all time, anytime it's silent, you're like, she's thinking.
Esmeralda's thinking. Anytime there's silence on the show, even if she's in the studio or not, Esmeralda's thinking. Every moment of silence from now on, Craig, is Esmeralda thinking.
Yeah, it's like
that
when you hear a bell, an angel gets its wings.
What happens
whenever
when you
hear silence? It's
Esmeralda
thinking.
Wait, everybody stop. Oh, that was nice,
that
Esmeralda.
Was good, yeah.
Yeah, good.
It's a lovely thought.
Yeah, I was thinking real hard.
You looked like you were. You did the thinking man pose
mouth
and everything.
Agape. Yes, yeah. Staring off into space.
I know that you are doing this show and the name of it again because I'm going to get it wrong.
You, me, them, everybody.
And you would think like Orange Whip. I should know what you're talking about. You, me, them, everybody.
Yeah, I really regret naming it after a Blues Brothers reference.
Why?
Because I like the Blues Brothers, and then I didn't realize bros like the Blues Brothers until it was much too late.
Yeah, but do people actually get it?
No, they don't.
Well, then
so it's always so it's associated with something that people don't like or love, and then they're like, I don't even understand it. But it's a horrible, horrible name, but I'm too far into it at this point.
How can it be a horrible name when you've got such a great following and so many people that love it? So
the Smashing Pumpkins is a horrible band name, and they sold a lot of records. Pearl Jam is the worst band name, and they sold even more records.
I love how much thought you've put into what are bad names. Like, you said, like, okay, I hate what I've chosen.
Yeah.
Who else made bad choices?
Stone Temple Pilots.
Wait, we need some explanations here, because these names are just coming. Why is
quickly,
Pearl Jam?
He has thought about this.
Pearl Jam means nothing, and it sounds Grandma's Jam, which it was. And that's what that means.
Do you hate Google? Do you hate just the name Google? When people make stuff up, are you angry?
Google's a great name. Yahoo's a great name. Yeah, the band Nirvana is a great name. Yep. The band Oasis is a great name. The best band name of all time is Sex Pistols. The second best band name of all time is the Rolling Stones. The third best band name of all time is The Clash.
Wow. I want to know how he thinks.
He thinks a lot about these things.
A lot. Lists are going. Are these written lists or are these mental lists you constantly are updating?
They're in my head, so they are constantly updated.
I love that.
Yeah. Dawes is a horrible name.
Are they updated so much so that you couldn't do them again right now?
No, I can do them again right now. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure he's got them down
pat. Yeah, I got this.
Yeah. What about the Inkwells? Is that a good name?
That's a decent name.
Isn't it, though?
But it blends in.
It does.
Yeah.
A little bit. That's where I was like,
I was thinking.
The Inkwells, they might have them on albums at the Suki Records.
Ooh, Suki.
Suki St. James. That's from Gilmore Girls.
If you go into Suki, it's just racist. Saki Records is the name of a cat.
Isn't sake also a Japanese beverage?
Yep, but it's mostly a name of a cat.
Oh, no, but this is sake. Japanese sake. Stuff is with an E. This is an I.
Okay, Saki. Am I saying it right now?
Yes.
Sure.
Correctly?
Yes.
Oh, this is so much pressure. I really, you, me, them, every.
You have children. Buddy. This is not pressure.
Yeah. This is
incredibly easy.
You would think.
You're great.
And yet, Brandon. Yep, see, I asked Esmeralda earlier, don't let me get it wrong. Don't let me get it wrong. And I did it right there. Brandon.
Yes, people Brandon. Do that? And I thought you were going to, I told you about his last name.
Weatherby?
Yes.
Weatherby's really easy.
How can
yeah,
I get
but
that wrong?
You know, people always do the jokes or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm. What jokes do they do?
About the weather.
About the weather, like
tell
you opened with.
No, I mostly want to make sure I get your first name right.
Well, you're 0 for 1.
I am, seriously. I think I said it earlier. I said it correctly. Esmeralda Leon. Am I getting closer to that one?
No, that's it. What? That
no,
is it.
Esmeralda knows.
She asks me every time.
Every single time.
And I go, no, that's it.
Well, Merle.
No.
Why?
The first time I met her, the first time we worked together, I think it was a Thanksgiving, and I was like, and Esmeralda de Leon has. No, it's not.
One, there's no day in there.
Day. So. Stop with the day. Could
Patty.
You?
We yes. can take a break here and then more with Brendan Weatherbug.
Okay. Oh, no.
With AccuWeather.
More with you, me, them, everybody.
Thanks for not adding the and in that.
Oh, did it? Did I, yeah, I don't think.
No, you're great. That's okay. That's the
main. Yeah, you, me, them, everybody.
And, yeah. And that works perfectly because I'll put it in the Brandon.
Sure.
Weatherby. See, that just makes no sense whatsoever.
No, it didn't.
Esmeralda Leon. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Did you get? That's just, good. That's
yeah,
good.
Thank you.
That's good.
I just figure I should even it out. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We're so excited. It's, you know, so much more energy when the Blackhawks win. And Brandon Weatherby just asked me off the air if I'm truly a Blackhawks fan, if I just wear the shirt when I work out. And that's fine. I you know, I get made fun of all the time. I'm always asking who gets home rink advantage. And I've been explaining that it's home ice.
Ice.
Yes, thank you. I love when we win. I don't really often know what's happening. There's power plays. There's penalties.
They hit the puck, and then it goes into the net.
There's a lot.
And then someone wins.
It's a little bit like it's a little bit, yes, exactly.
Done
bit,
and done.
Hello. Why are you covering yours? Are you?
Because I'm trying not to cackle, because Esmeralda, both on the show and in real life, will hit me if I cackle in a certain way. She thinks I changed my laugh intentionally.
You have changed your laugh.
I think it's natural.
And he wants
you should probably keep hiding that natural laugh then.
What are you doing? This is uncomfortable.
I'm hiding my natural laugh.
Don't do that. Stop it, Esmeralda.
I don't have the ruler with me, so it's okay.
Oh, this got exciting all of a sudden.
Like,
do you need a ruler? Hold on,
let
me see what I have in my drawer. Will I, like, how about a extension
just a
cord?
Long sort of
yes,
switch on. Of some sort, maybe.
Will, how about a stapler? You can unfold. Here you go.
There we go. Oh.
Are you going to hit him at you, me, them, everybody? Is that how that show goes? Mm-hmm.
She's hit me on the show before, yeah. She's
awesome.
Hit me on the show.
I throw things at Craig sometimes. It's been a while since
I've
thrown anything at him.
Okay.
There you go, see? Sometimes
but,
just,
wait. For the listener at home and or in a car, yes. there's a pane of glass between them.
Exactly. That's what makes it fun.
When Merle and I do the show, there's no pane of glass. We're like 5 feet from each other.
Yeah.
So when she tries to hit me, it lands.
Oh.
She's very good at connecting.
I like to imagine. I just like the idea of Craig seeing things flying at his face, and then he knows that it's going to be okay. It's kind of like
does he flinch?
No, I don't think so. No,
I'm pretty good at not.
He actually laughs at how I throw.
So. Yeah.
So you're training him how to be not adept in the wild?
A little bit. He doesn't flinch anymore. That's probably not a good thing.
I'd be eaten so quickly.
Yes. His fight or flight. He can't decide. I don't know. I'm pretty good at fighting. I don't flinch. Oh, wait. I was wrong.
You just got to open the door and then throw it at him through there.
Oh, that would be so surprising.
Oh, wonderful idea, Esmeralda. Thanks so much.
You're
well,
welcome.
It doesn't happen on the air, though. I can't bring the microphone over there. Could you get this to be wireless?
Right. So you can throw stuff at me. I can't wait to submit that to engineering.
Yeah,
you just open all the mics up and then yell really loud.
There you go.
It'll be fine.
Now, Brandon, at your show, there's violence. There's there's verbal hostility. Is that what you're saying?
Yelling.
No, I did not notice that at the last show I saw.
No?
You, me, them, everybody at the Hungry Brain. And this one is.
She saw me almost cry.
I did.
Show.
It was.
It was our last show at the Brain.
Yeah, it was bittersweet.
That was such a great bar, and that was my first and only time there. I probably probably should have gotten on that a little earlier.
Mm-hmm. You should have given the eulogy. I mean, it's clear that you've had a long relationship with it,
attached.
And it changed your life.
But that's what happens. You go once, and then you think you're regular.
I did think maybe I could have brought my own folding chair. There seemed to be a lot of floor space and a lot of room.
You're really into this.
We would have welcomed it.
Bringing your own thing to sit on.
Yes, I am. That's why I was asking. That's actually the genesis of why I wanted to know if I could bring my own rug. There was plenty of room to sit at the Hungry Brain, but there were like people spread out on couches, and we're all crowded
on
the bar.
Where you see the stage to the right of it, there's mm-hmm. all that, not that much space, and people will crowd around there thinking that they're going to disturb us if they go to the back. It's like, no, it's fine.
No, the whole back was packed. Mm-hmm. And then, like, there was some guy guarding your sandwich. It was a lot going on at the last show. I hope he's at this next one on May 21st. It was... I don't
Do
think the covering...
This? Is this coming
I
back?
Don't...
It can't be a real laugh.
I don't think that you covering it is. I think it's actually causing an echo chamber when you do that, by the way.
I'm sorry.
No, it's been. But yeah, there was. I mean, this guy nearly, like, stabbed me because
my friend Doug.
I sat down and he's
what
like.
What kind of sandwich was it?
It was a Cuban sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It smelled delicious.
I know it was really good. I ate it afterwards.
Plugs. Where's it from?
Oh, 90 from
miles?
90 Mile.
There
yeah.
90 Mile.
We're delicious.
Mm. Is there going to be a Cuban sandwich that will be guarded?
I might just bring a Cuban sandwich. He actually wanted to. Get you a Cuban sandwich for Christmas.
Did he really?
He did. I was like, I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah.
Like, how to figure that one out.
Well, you can bring it to...
just bring it in.
Yes.
That's how that would work.
I know, but to like...
He can bring it to Saki Records on May 21st.
But to
do
it all in
Christmas. Bring your Cuban Christmas sandwiches on May 21st.
He bought it at
Records.
Christmas, so it I don't know if you can eat it still.
What other show you have coming up? You said you wanted to promote...
I wanted to do this thing. It's called. I have this website. It's called Brightest Young Things, and we're in D.C. and New York. And it's kind of similar to what Esmeralda and I talk about on the show, but rather than it being an audio program and a live program, it's a website, and we cover things that are culturally relevant to specific cities. So we're currently in D.C. We've been there for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're also in New York, and we just launched a brand new thing today in Chicago. We do this thing called Best Weekend Bets, 10 to 20 events every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday that we think are awesome that you might enjoy.
Excellent. So
yeah.
Bright Young Things?
BrightestYoungThings.com. And the Twitter address is BYT. If you just go on Facebook, on Brightest Young Things. If you just follow me on it on Twitter, it's YMTE. I really am stuck with just using 4 to 3 letters in everything I do. It's great, and if you don't like it, unsubscribe, because you have that ability. You don't owe anybody anything. I just think you might like it. If you've ever heard Esmeralda, you'll blatantly like it. And if you really hate Esmeralda, mm-hmm. you should subscribe and be like, hey, man, I don't like Esmeralda.
Esmeralda has her own theme song now here at WGN, so there's no reason.
I do.
Yeah, she's been elevated. Yes. She once in a while she wears a crown, the news crown.
But why are you saying that, like, I want to fight you that you have a theme song? I'm happy for you that you have a theme song.
I know.
No, I'm talking to the listeners who might not like Esmeralda. There's no reason.
What?
He said it. He was the one that said, if you don't like Esmeralda, you go, oh, I don't understand how I just got pulled into this. I am looking forward to your show.
A lot of verbal somersaults.
It was flipping.
Positivity here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's with that is negativity. So it's a yin and a yang,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay. There's two sides of every coin, unless it's a trick coin, and don't hang out with magicians because they're weirdos.
They really are. They will pull something out of your ear and it's creepy.
But it's not their ear, it's their hand, and they just touched you. That's even worse.
At least it's your ear.
Don't let magicians touch you. That's why we do this show. That's why we do You, Me, Them, Everybody, and that's why Brightest Young Things exist. We just want to get some anti-magician awareness out there. They're not bad people. They're just horrible performers. We need to stop the plague now before it continues.
I have to
let's clap for that. That was probably
thank
hard
you
for
so
him.
Much.
That was hard for you.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah good job.
Yes, yeah, spreading the word. I have
what
to introduce him to Jimmy.
Hawks, home of anti-magic.
I don't think that's part of their slogan.
What?
Yeah. What? I don't know what just happened.
Oh, so controversial statement.
All of the magician, the unions, the support groups for magicians, you can go to on the May 21st and speak to Brandon Weatherby.
Illusionists are fine.
Illusionists.
Just
okay.
Don't touch me with that sleight of hand.
Man,
and don't,
what about I kind of live in the magic sector, mm-hmm. so now I can't even walk down the street.
Yep, can't do that.
Do
that's
really?
Why people hate
Yeah, there's like two magic shops. Around my house.
What if you have a wand? Are wands kind of...
That's fine, because that encourages reading, because Harry Potter is the biggest, most important wand superstar there is, and
yes.
I like when kids read. Reading is fundamental.
It really is.
Wouldn't Harry Potter encourage kids to do magic, though?
That's more of an illusion and a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm talking into a microphone, but I decided to turn around and yell.
But you
could tell I was yelling because it was like a little bit louder, but not really because I backed off.
It adds depth, and I think the texture actually is really quite entertaining. Yeah, no, I let people know how
that's
big the
Brandon
room is.
That's all Brandon is texture.
Texture.
That's
layers.
Why Merle and I started this show. We got a why show texture? On Merle. Audio this texture. Why,
yeah, he's done it several times now. Why is she
can
Merle?
Can you not say Esmeralda?
No, I can't.
It's a beautiful name. Yeah, it actually is a. It's actually kind of a witch's name.
What? Don't throw me in with those dirty magicians.
Esmeralda, wasn't
no,
she on Bewitched?
Witches are number one in my book. Mm-hmm. My book is just full of baseball stats and how witches are cool.
See, now Merle was a wizard, right? Wasn't there a wizard named Merle? No, maybe that's a...
You're thinking of Merlin.
Oh, yes, yeah. I am. Merlin. Thank you very much. I'm so tired.
I'm sure someone called him Merle.
Merle.
Yeah.
But Merle is a young female, and Merlin was an old man with a white beard.
That's what I was accusing you of alluding to.
It's also Merle Haggard, but you know.
Yeah. He's a cool dude.
There's a great barbecue restaurant in Evanston called Merle's, too.
All right.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go in there and say it's mine.
Should I have never brought this up? I apologize, because this might change your entire career.
No one at WGN.
I am so sorry.
No. We didn't know you called her Merle.
Sorry.
Mm. Yeah, this is like the one time my friends told my family that they call me Merle, and then they're like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Would it be weird if I started calling you as Merle, or would you not even notice?
I wouldn't notice.
Yeah. Hmm. We'll call her like Phyllis.
That's made it so much worse for you. You'll have to have like those horn-rimmed glasses and have like
Phyllis.
A,
yeah,
Phyllis.
I'm wearing glasses right now.
Not horn-rimmed ones. Not like the big cat eye ones.
I can't afford those.
No, but they have to have like rhinestones in the.
You think I got rhinestone eyeglass money? I'll travel around this great country of ours, trying to spread the anti-magic word. I don't got time to put rhinestones in eyeglasses.
Oh, but do you have time to tell people where they can find your podcast?
Saki Records. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's at youmethemeverybody.com. Go to brightestyoungthings.com for completely different reasons. Mm-hmm. And we'll be at Saki on May 21st. It's going to be a fun show. It's at 7 p.m. It's free. It's all ages, and it's BYOB.
Yeah, why is it all ages? Because the one I saw was not, in fact, all ages.
Because we're in a record store instead of a bar.
Oh, yeah. I see. And they've asked you to be able to be audience-friendly, customer-friendly.
Yeah, we just want people to come and hang out and see the show.
I mean, I don't know how customer-friendly we can be.
We will make them leave.
Yes.
We want people to show up and be silent.
Have you done a show here before at Saki Records?
Yeah. Yeah. We did a show there a few years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a fun time.
All right.
It's a place that exists.
No, I wasn't doubting you at all.
I don't think people left.
No one left. No.
That's good. See, like so that? Then there you go. We've already tested it.
Do you ever have someone leave a show and like want to follow them out and find out why?
No.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Why do you want to follow them out?
Because I want to know why.
Like
when we did the shows at the Whistler.
Oh, boy.
Why did they leave at the Whistler?
I don't know, because we didn't follow them out.
We don't know. We didn't follow them out. Oh, it was weird.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to talk ill of the show. I could tell you this, that the people that work there loved the show.
Well, there you go.
And if people walk out and the owners and the people that are behind the bar love the show, and they lost money by them leaving, they really like the show. So... that's the compliment, I guess.
Well, go to Saki Records on May 21st. It's an all-ages show, free, and it's You, Me, Them, Everybody. You can go to youmethemeverybody.com, brightestyoungthings.com for information about this. Today, just launched.
Brand new today.
Brand new. And Brandon Weatherby. See, it actually helped me be able to say Brandon and not forget, because he said Brandon. I don't know why. I need word association. When I meet people, I ask them how they spell their name so I can remember.
Think of Brandon Walsh from 90210.
No. That's not going to do it for me. I'm just going to think of you, Brandon Weatherby.
He had great hair.
So do you.
I have medium hair. It's a little humid tonight.
You and Esmeralda both have wonderful hair.
Oh, thanks.
Her hair is better than mine.
A little bit. Esmeralda Leon will also be there. She's a part of the show. Yeah. She always has been, except for the first one. We don't need to go cover that ground again. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late, and we are live in the Allstate Showcase studio on the warmest day of the year so far, which means that everybody's out in their skirts and shorts and sleeveless tops. And Scott Stantis, the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, isn't this a little more fun than the middle of winter when no one's
out? Yes, and I'm wearing my kicky little dress outnumbered.
Yes,
how do
I love
I look?
It. It's a little flippy. I like that.
Thank you.
I don't want to have a breeze come up and discover what you wear underneath.
A little kicky, I think.
A little kicky?
Sure.
All right.
Let's go with that.
I'm wearing polka dots tonight, as is your lovely wife as well.
I missed the memo.
Yeah, we're the three. I don't know if polka dots are back this season. They were big last year. That's
well, apparently
why.
They are, because you guys are wearing them.
Yeah, that's all right. I like the matchy-matchy. I was at a dinner on Sunday when news broke of a shooting in Texas. And do you get like alerts right away when it's comic related, when it's comic strip related, or artist related in terms
of... Well, there was a they had what's the word I'm looking at? They'd come across the Twitter feed, and it turned out it was from one of the assailants, mm-hmm. and saying that they were going to have this attack. And we cartoonists got very nervous because it was saying we're going to have an attack like they had, as they had in Paris
in
against
France.
Charlie Hebdo.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're thinking, oh, dang.
So there were, how many days before? Was it the day of?
Or, I would say.
Because you told me last week that there
Friday?
Were.
Friday? I'm looking at you, Nick. It was like Friday when we talked about that.
You were on the air talking about it last week, telling me that there
okay,
were threats.
So yeah,
it was at least Thursday.
Oh, yeah, right. So it was like that day.
Right.
And we're
and
talking
I immediately
about,
thought of you when the news broke.
Well, because I work in a big building, that'd be a fat, juicy target.
It's not because I'm near your target. It's just you in general.
No, you'd hear it and go, huh.
Well, and the idea that we've talked about this before, that an image can so outrage, a group of people because, and this is not, this is anybody who is a fundamentalist who, takes umbrage, whether it's, whether it's Christian or Muslim or Jewish, anybody, it's when they're fired up that much, they have to hurt somebody because they feel that their religion is somehow been slighted.
Yeah, it's weird. If your God is that weak that it's slighted by a cartoon and you have to kill the person who did it, then
right.
there's something really screwed up about your faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact. And so it's got scarier still because now it turns out that ISIS A took, credit for the attacks in Garland, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying that there's 71 sleeper cells in America. That's their claim. And they gave five states.
Mm-hmm.
Where they said, we will tell you where five of them are. And apparently one of them is?
Chicago.
Illinois. Mm-hmm. Woot.
I know the Chicago State.
Yeah, I'm
going to
guess Chicago. I don't think this is going to happen in Rockford.
Or Peoria. It could. We're not slighting them.
No,
we
no,
don't,
no.
And we don't certainly. We don't
if anyone necessarily... is worthy of jihad action, it's Peoria.
Okay. But can you tell me a little bit about what this
yes.
There was an event, right? That was created to
it
attract.
Was, and it was a horrible. I mean, it was offensive. It was, I hate. It sounds like I'm diminishing it, but it was just, it was rude.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hurting fellow Americans. It's a woman who thinks Islam and all Muslims are violent, horrible, terrible jihadists. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to try to provoke this kind of response to show that they are, she had a Draw Muhammad contest and it was $10,000 reward.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't win.
So she basically was encouraging people to be offensive to a religion.
Yeah,
yes.
Because you ostensibly, at least the cover was that because you can.
Yes.
Because in a free culture, you should be able to do that without violent reprisal. But the underlying vibe of it was racist, frankly. So they had the event. They had a lot of security. The one thing about the guys who tried to do the attack is if you're going to try to have a shootout, do you really go to Texas?
Because everyone's got a gun.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Kids are pulling out their Glocks. It's very sad. Is that what happened? You said with security guards were the ones
A security
that...
guard got hurt, but it was, I believe, am I correct here? It was Garland police who actually downed the suspects.
Okay.
They didn't even get anywhere close to, I don't think they got out of the parking lot.
Yeah. It is the arena of humor. Or, self-expression in order to make a commentary on society, whether it's religion or politics. It's amazing the depth to which people have these intense reactions,
Well, you're a stand-up comedian. Have you mm-hmm. had, and I've seen some of your stand-up is risque, and some of it kind of get flies in some people's faces,
sure.
I imagine. Have you had someone come up, not violently, but just mad?
No, usually not. I remember one time I was in Birmingham, Alabama, and I have material about breast cancer awareness. And this was a long time ago. This was in 2003, 2004. And I was saying that more men would be involved in breast cancer awareness if we changed the name to Save the Boobies. So this is a little bit in the middle of when that was all starting, kind of being mm-hmm. a little cheeky about it. And it was a sold out room, about 300 or 400 people. And I always remember it was
Stardome,
December.
Right?
The Stardome, yes. Yeah. And I was the material was going fine, but then this woman just in the middle of the audience was yelling, "That ain't funny." Just yelling, right? "That ain't funny." And I was about to turn to her, and I don't know if I was going to argue with her or what I was going to say, but the audience started to boo her, which was kind of, that was, that was empowering for me, that they were on my side. But then they were booing her, and all of a sudden I felt really bad for her, because in a moment I thought, what if she's just been diagnosed with breast cancer, or someone in her family was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's just feeling this very intensely right now. And that's what I told the audience. And I said, that is the great thing about a comedy show like this. There is something for everybody. I said, let me buy you a drink so that you can sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of my set, and there will be another comic out in a moment. And the audience burst into huge applause. It's the South. They appreciate that kind of gesture. You know, I think any audience might. And then it turns out she was just drunk. I found out after the show she was just ignorant.
Just terminal drunkenness.
Just ignorant. So, but you know what? I decided to err on the side of caution. I even when people get mad at me on this show, they hear things the way they want to. And when they email me, yes.
The organist from my church.
Sure.
Is startled that I come on this show. She's so dirty.
Yeah. Oh, I'm filthy. And the FCC calling all the time.
Is that true?
No, not at all. Not once. So.
No. You're not doing your job.
Yeah, you know.
Or they don't care.
But people will email me. They'll be up for hours, or they go to bed angry about something that I've said at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'll get an email from them at 8 a.m. And I'm like, did they stay up all night? Like, I got to talk to her. I got to send her something and tell her I'm mad. And then all I do is they tell me that they're angry with me. They're disappointed. I'm better than that. So I email them back, and I'm like, thank you so much for listening. There's something for everybody. There's a great big world out there. I hope you have a lovely day. And they always email back. Oh, I didn't expect such a gracious response. They have a lovely day too. They're very confused by the kindness.
Many, many times I get stuff. You're just a blah, 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 blah.
See?
And you write back.
Your writers sound the exact same as my email.
Same person, probably. But yeah, and the thing about emails and comments is that, you know, back in the day, because I'm old, there was a day. Mm-hmm. If they sent you a nasty letter, they had to write it. They had to find the pen. They had to find the paper. They had to write the thing. Mm-hmm. They had to find the envelope. They had to find a stamp. They had to mail it.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, common sense kicked in, and they shouldn't, you know, call you that name, and they don't send it.
Unless they really felt that. If they carried it out, you know they meant it.
But now emails or comments is a tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick- and yeah. he did, you can go, if you write back as you did and just say, listen, dude, you know, this is beyond the pale, but, you know, I'll take you seriously and this is why I did what I did.
Oh, I never explain myself.
Really?
No, I just say it's a big world out there, something for everybody.
Well, okay, that's...
And if they're really mean, I say, you're adorable. Thank you for putting your thoughts together and sending them
to
me.
The best thing you say is, I'll pray for you.
I'll pray for you. Bless your bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. Yeah. Well, and I really feel that way. Neither you nor I get up in the morning, and well, maybe you do, and think, how can I make people angry today?
Oh, yeah, no, that's my job description. Oh, yeah, pretty much.
No, not me. More after this. Let's see how angry Scott Santas or I can make you when we come back on 720 WGN. It is pretty late. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Santas. And you may, in fact, say pissed off.
I can say pissed off.
Yes,
here.
Please.
Okay. I was on NPR yesterday, and they said they were... Of course,
they give you a list.
Of course, they said it like this: "There's the rules are that there's no scatological references or sexually or wording that can lead to sexual arousal." I'm going.
Oh, well, who knows what that is? That seems like a very like a lot of because you.
I can't talk about nibs or
very
or
narrow nibs. What are nibs? Are nibs nipples? What are nibs?
No, that's
he's so surprised. Like I can't believe, this is so different than NPR. I'm sorry. What are nibs? Is that more comfortable for you? Craig, you're looking at me like you know what nibs are.
I have no idea what it is.
What's
is it like
nib?
Sexual dibs or something?
Ooh, I love that. Sexual dibs. Is it? I've
it
got nibs. I've got nibs. I got nibs on
I
your nibbles.
Nibs right over here.
Mm-hmm.
Got nibs.
Mm-hmm. You, I'm glad you're pointing at Scott.
Do you leave in your nib space? Do you leave like a chair?
There's a...
How big is your nib space, by the way?
A nib is the end of the pen where you dip it into the ink. That's called a nib.
Okay, so that's kind of, I guess, along the same lines as don't dip your pen where you write?
In another man's ink.
Ink.
Yeah, something.
Okay.
Sure, let's go with that. No, it's but that's...
Is that a... look it up. Colonial Times nib
no,
sexual
I used,
reference.
I oh, that would be funny.
It would be... Oh, one of the first midnight teases we ever did were colloquial terms for sex. I can print those up for you for next time if you'd like.
Like what else
your church
have?
Organist might enjoy that list very much. Oh, there were some great ones. I don't have... It's been 2 years now. I have to take a look. It was one of the first... did you send it to me? I can't... I think that
yeah,
you had...
Yeah, I found it.
Oh, see, this is the magic of radio. We can actually... I can get the list for you. Now, you did not have the opportunity to talk about like anything that was sexually provocative on NPR and on my show... Not only can you do that, but you can actually
you insist on it.
17 euphemisms for sex from the 1800s. I'm so excited to share this.
Basket
is one of the...
making.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can find that one for you. Now, what do you think that means? Basket making. Mm-hmm.
It says here that those two recently opened a basket making shop from a method of making children's stockings in which knitting the heel is called basket making.
Oh, you have the explanations as well. I thought you just had the other list.
No, no. Do you want me to try the other
list? No, I don't think I have all
I'd
those.
I'd actually like to make up our own. The night psychic? Physic? No, I'm sorry. The night physic.
The night physic.
Mm-hmm.
That makes, I don't, that's
Fadoodling. Now, that I like. That actually makes some sense.
How about Polly Holly? Polly Holly. Do you have that?
What number do you have?
No, we have different lists. A game at Polly Holly is a series of affairs. Ooh.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
That's number 14, Scott, by the way.
Scandalous.
Yeah, play at Trey Trip of a Die.
Oh.
Play at Trey. You can't even say it.
That sounds like something that involves more than two people.
I think join Giblets.
That makes perfect sense. Self-explanatory. Would thou enjoy joining Giblets?
Oh my God! Here's one. This is from 1800. Have one's corn ground. That's so romantic. I'm actually misty.
Could you ground my corn?
That's not sex. That's making love.
Here's what you do. Next time you're on NPR, I need you to work these into the conversation and
horizontal.
See if you get in trouble.
Let's see if we can do it like NPR. Mm-hmm. Horizontal refreshment.
Oh yes, that makes sense. Horizontal.
Refreshment.
Are you having lemonade while you're lying down? While you're lounging?
Leary Compoop.
Oh.
Leary Compoop. Yeah, I'm saying that right?
All right.
Number 22?
I believe you.
Leary Compoop. Mm. Yeah, that would get your engine running.
By the way, these are from the 1811 Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue. So I don't know if NPR would have a problem with
that. Yet another phrase, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Face making.
Sure. That sounds tawdry. Aside from the obvious, this also comes from making children because babies have faces. So that's what face making means.
I don't think they thought that far in advance.
I think. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, lobster kettle?
Lobster kettle? Let me see if I have the
definition. Actually a rather sexist term because it's strictly for a woman who has much sex with soldiers.
Yes, because she's making a lobster kettle of herself. Do you think that has let's not discuss what that means.
No, let's not.
Okay.
Really.
Mm-mm, that seems a little intense.
Yeah, even for this. Not NPR, we've gone light years past that.
Mm-hmm. How about take a flyer? Mm-hmm. Flyers, yes.
Doesn't take a flyer, didn't that used to mean like just I'm just going to quit or I'm just going to walk away from something? I'm taking a flyer on that. Like you want to help me move. I say, well, now I'll take a flyer on that.
No, I've never heard take a flyer on that. Maybe that means you'd rather be having sex than helping someone.
The oldest
move.
One in the room, I guess. Yeah, I'd rather be having. Well, that would be true.
Mm-hmm. I don't
play Nug a Nug from 1505.
Dear, blow the ground sills. Ground sills are foundation timbers, so that means having sex on the floor.
Ouch.
Well, you know.
You could get like
things you work a rug slivers.
Burn. Slivers. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I demand that you do this next time you go on NPR, by the way.
I just I need to sneak these in. I like this blanket hornpipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's Can I interest you in a... By the way, it's always can I interest you in. I don't know any other way
May I interest you in a blanket hornpipe, perhaps?
It's really... Yeah, how does that come up in conversation? How do you casually...
Well, I love the explanation here. There's probably no way to use this in seriousness or discreetly, but there you have it.
There you have it.
Blanket hornpipe.
I like amorous congress. To say two people were engaged in amorous congress was by far the most polite option on the list, oftentimes serving as a definition for other... less discreet synonyms.
Mm. Like making the beast with two backs. That's another.
There you go.
That's Shakespearean. So now we're getting literary.
Craig's like, up there. Oh, look at the time.
We've got to take a break. I think there's a break
we've,
now.
We've moved into the modern times.
It's a shame.
All right. One more segment. We come back with Scott Stantis. He is the editorial I got all distracted by all the heated talk that we've been having.
True.
It's just so tawdry. Your organ player is going to be so disappointed in you. More after this on 720.
What do you mean by that?
That's not a rock. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And Scott Stantis, the editorial cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, is wondering whether or not he can go to his church anymore.
We're going to just change.
Well, but my point being, we were talking about folks getting upset at cartoonists when they, perhaps...
Trying to kill them, yes.
That kind of thing. And, we were talking... People will get angry at me about using words like, a stitch. Well, I know it's horrible, which means to have a casual affair, by the way, by the 1811. Yes, is having a stitch.
You had a stitch.
God, now it just
sounds
means,
so nice.
I know.
No one gets hurt. It's a stitch.
It doesn't get hurt, but these are words, and people get wrapped up, and they have to go and lash out somehow. Yeah. They get all pent up.
Or titillated. Yeah.
You know what some people get mad at me for is eating on the air when I have, if people bring in food from their restaurants.
Seriously?
Oh, we get letters, yes.
No, I bring, usually, I didn't do it tonight, but I usually bring cocktails.
You bring a cocktail. We've done that. that as well.
A number of times. Do people get mad at you for that?
We don't get much comment on that. It's the eating that seems to bother
That's
them.
What offends people.
Yeah. The cocktails, that makes sense to them. Sure. Why wouldn't she? It's midnight. Why not have at it?
Well, last time I was on, you had your friend from with the sandwiches and the new wings. And
Philly's best. Mike.
Philly's best. And
Michael.
That was great. And we're
wasn't
like,
that delicious? there were some people we had to be like, could you not do that on the air? Who was it? We have one guest. We won't say who on the air, but there was somebody we were, a very good friend of the show. We were like, could you maybe?
Yeah, this was fairly recently.
Yes, really. But people get carried away.
And
they want
finger food sometimes can get the better of people.
I don't even like that when I'm eating with somebody and they're eating very loudly with their mouth open.
That's gross. That's just bad manners.
It is, but scientists have found a chemical in your brain where at some point that is for some people a trigger for like to just get so angry. And everybody has the ability to get mad. At some point, you can't stand the sound of the other person breathing. You ever like, again with the in and out.
That was one of the best explanations of marriage I've ever heard was from a mediocre movie, and it uses that line. That's interesting.
Which
called The Four Seasons. Alan Alda and Carol Burnett were in it, and it's not. It's four couples, and one of them is getting divorced. He goes, "Why are you getting divorced?" And the guy says, "Well, we fell out of love." And Alan Alda goes, "You know what marriage is? Marriage is you can't stand the way the other person breathes.
Yes.
And then there are times when she walks in the room and she takes your breath away.
Oh, that is a great line.
And that's.
Oh, I want to. I've never seen that movie.
Yeah, just fast forward to that part.
It's true. I mean, we don't have to get into any details, but yes, let's go to this. My husband snores, so you know there comes a moment in the middle of the night where he makes this noise where it's like, is he going to be all right? And then I just keep sleeping. I don't check, and I probably
poke him with a stick or something.
I know I should move him a little bit, but you know,
sleep apnea, by the way? Does we ever had this checked?
He should have that checked.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go on.
But you would
miss that if it went away.
Absolutely, of course, I would miss that. But in the middle of the night, I've been laying there for the trick when you sleep with someone who snores, you must fall asleep first.
But that's a problem because you're going sleep.
Right now. Go. Yeah, if I go to sleep now, I've got 3 hours. Okay. 2 hours. Yes. I'm a night owl, obviously.
I feel sorry for Janine because I've been waking myself up snoring, which means that the lead up to that has to be horrific.
That's a weird moment where you're like, huh!
Do you gasp? Well, no. I hear this.
Oh.
I go, what the hell's that sound?
Holy crap.
Mm. I think it's me.
Yeah, that's a strange moment. Do you ever have that that jerking? What is that? Like you feel like you're falling?
Yeah.
Or something?
Everyone has that. Yeah, and you jump 12 and the person you're with goes, what? What? And you goes, nothing. Yeah.
What? I'm awake now. I've got so much adrenaline.
Oh, and he's snoring.
Do you find that a lot of your ideas for what you want to do, what you want to talk about, come to you in the middle of the night, or are you in the shower or in your office for the work that you do?
The furthest away I can get from a working pen is usually when the idea hits. And so Janine has to, my wife, who has to, I'm in the shower, go, write down.
Yes.
Because I have rocks in my trousers. Trust me, I'll know what it means.
I want to see that cartoon. Is that cartoon out there?
I'm sure it's somewhere.
Mostly because you're wearing trousers in it, apparently. I'd like to know what that is.
Well,
like.
I'm just thinking, you know, funny things.
What are trousers different than pants? Are they or slacks? Slacks, pants, and trousers.
I think they're the same thing. Yeah, now we're back to when you take them off when you play at Rantum Scantum.
That's what I feel like I'm doing right now. I do feel like I'm playing at Rantum Scantum. My husband, I was trying to write this essay this week, and I couldn't find a legal pad to save my life in the house. I'm like, give me something to write on because I haven't been writing as much. Mm. And I use like index cards, but I needed a lot bigger piece of paper. That's my husband telling me he found the legal pad. we should be following you on @Stantis. @Stantis. Not just.
Yes, @Stantis.
@Stantis on Twitter. And I know that you have something new on the NSA.
They made the decision. The second Circuit Court of Appeals said that you can't listen to everybody's phone calls. Really, honest.
That's so unique and very forward-thinking of them, only it's already happening.
Well, yeah. But don't forget they lied to us about it for years.
Oh, yeah, no. There's nothing to see.
My favorite part is that, okay, you know what we do? We don't listen to them. Mm-hmm. We just write down on a notepad,
right.
Okay, you made this call at this time. But we don't listen to it. Honest. Wink,
yes.
Wink.
I mean, the winking
is annoying. Oh, yeah, because I would trust the federal government not to do something like that because they have a history of, Wait
a second.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, it's So the NSA has to be reined in. I mean, maybe there's a compromise. The compromise is you don't do it. I mean, we have a Fifth Amendment to the Constitution that illegal search and seizure.
Mm-hmm. I think so many people have just given up, though, don't you think? They just kind of figure they're being watched and listened to.
Can I be honest with you? I mean, this is insight into the cartoonist's mind. When I was drawing the cartoon today, half of me was like, you know what? I'm losing this battle. I don't know why.
Because people are not bothering.
They don't care. And it's bizarre. And think of the abuses. I mean, right now, we're so scared about, you know, since 9/11, and it's been a while, mm-hmm. you know, but we're still so scared, and they use that. And governments yes. always use that as the crowbar to wrench us away from our freedoms. And if we don't fight back, if we don't mention it, then they're gone forever. And I have a sinking feeling that's kind of where we are.
I get the same sensation when I talk about the budget for Illinois. And I know that you also had a cartoon about Rauner trying to, you know, cover their budget and make these cuts. And yes.
Well, did you see what Madigan did yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's like...
By the way, Craig, I can't believe I wasn't in Springfield yesterday. A lot of stuff happened in the House of Representatives.
Well, just to catch the listeners up, man.
Yes, please
do. They voted up. Madigan said, okay, Mr. Governor, I'm going to bring these cuts up and put them to a vote right now.
Yeah.
And so he put it up, and all the Republicans were like, and they, to a person, not one vote in favor of the cuts.
All present.
All Republicans present, all the Democrats voted against
it. Yeah, I can't believe I missed that.
Well, but it was twofold. It wasn't, don't forget, this wasn't a nice altruistic act. This was an act by Mike Madigan, Speaker of the House for the last 31 years, telling the governor who the cock of the walk is in Illinois.
Well, I will tell you this, having been in hearings for the last several weeks, this has actually come up many times during the testimony from DHS and from the governor's Office of Management and Business, where the representatives have stated, for the record, because of these cuts, I cannot vote for the state budget as it is. So they've been saying that for the last several weeks individually, I think he wants them to know they want to start working on it now because they have a deadline of May 31st.
Right.
So if these are the cuts, we want you to know right now, not going to work for us.
Well,
and I'll be there again next week.
Yeah. Well, but this was a Madigan moment. It was actually pretty brutal, but it was brilliant. He did to Quinn last year. But we have a budget that's so out of kilter that something has to be done. We're coming up to what, $750 billion?
Here's the thing.
In debt?
This is all political theater. But you know, if you're going to talk about what was brutal and what's, you know, for show, what about the reason I was there? Why many parents were there for the last 3 weeks, which was cuts to autism on World Autism Day, on Good Friday, on the beginning of Passover. So I mean, it seems like they're, you know, fine now. It's, I will make this stand this way.
Well, and you and I have talked about this a lot because I have a vested interest in the Epilepsy Foundation, which had 100% of the Epilepsy Foundation of Greater Chicago, 100% of its funds cut.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, part of it, I think, was a wake-up call from the governor. I'm hoping that there is some thought behind this rather than just a brutal businessman saying we need to cut here, here, and here, and nobody cares. Well, wrong answer.
Hello.
But now maybe, hopefully, we're going to look at, you know, the budget in a real way and look at where there's real waste and where there's real places to cut. And maybe that's where we are, but I doubt it.
I'm so glad that we're both going to Springfield in the next couple
of
weeks.
That'll be fun.
We're going to get in trouble. We're going to be escorted out by...
Yeah. Rick Pearson will sneer at us.
No, I don't think so. I think he'll laugh at our little jokes.
because
we're adorable. Follow Scott Stantis on Twitter at @sstantis and go to ChicagoTribune.com to find his artwork
/Stantis
and Prickly City.
I post it there, or go to Go Comics. I'm all over the place.
You are all over the place, including here, which is why we like having you. See you again. Well, I'll hear from you next week. I'll be in Springfield. Will you come back and play?
Yeah, I can do the thing here, and we'll talk. And
exactly.
You have your little handy-dandy little gizmo.
Comrex. You like gizmo? Okay, fine. Gizmo.
Comrex?
Comrex.
That sounds like a feminine product, doesn't it?
Oh, great. Now no one's going to want to touch my Comrex. More after this on 720 WGN.
Time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go slow.
Oh, the elevator is fully functioning. Laura Vaughn just busting to move up there. Last night we had Dwayne Kennedy in the studio. He seemed very, he seemed enlightened by our moves. I think that we talk a lot.
Yeah, that's a word. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if he would use it.
No, he would not.
No,
definitely
he
not.
Seemed, he seemed entertained.
Yeah, oh yes. And right. Not like in a, these people are good dancers, sort of. No, these are some talented folks.
Kind of when you go to like a late night bar and you look out on the dance floor.
Yes.
I think that's the entertainment he sort of had.
Everybody else is drunk and you're sober.
Right.
The end of the wedding.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is exactly what that dance is, actually.
Oh, nice.
We're the last ones at the party. We've exhausted every opportunity of getting lucky and getting some of that free the open bar. Yeah, that's us at the end of the night.
Now we're just grooving to the tunes.
That's right. That's all we got left. The DJ has just put it on autopilot. He's hitting on one of the bridesmaids.
I think we now ruin the segment with that idea in our brains. Oh. I never thought of that
just
before.
Tonight. Just tonight's show. Okay. Yes. That's good. A little bit. We have a new segment for the playoffs, for the Blackhawks in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Blackhawks are in the playoffs, which is important, and we should do some fancy stuff for that. So
we want to tag along.
Steve Cochran does the Hawktionary word, the term, every once in a while, and we want to find those terms during the game.
Mm-hmm. So I can learn along with everybody else.
Yeah, so we're finding the Hawktionary. I'm pretty late. Mm-hmm. The Hawktionary word of the day or the previous one.
In action.
Hawktionary in action.
That's
I
what
like
you,
that.
You named it.
No,
that's,
I did.
You're adorable that you're
I was
pointing
pretending.
At me. No,
yeah.
Mm-mm.
But so call in. At the end of tonight's game, there was a Hawktionary word that was used. Call in and tell us what it was, and you win a $25 pizza gift card to Luminati's.
I like it. 312-981-7200. Pretty late Hawktionary in action. That's PLHIA.
Yeah.
We're going to get that Twitter handle.
Yeah, we're going to get a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Hawktionary in action.
312-981-7200. Tell us what Hawktionary word. And by the way, it's Dave Edit that educates us all on different words. I don't want to use some of them in case they were the ones that was the word at the end of the game. So anyway, that is your chance to win a Lou Malnati's gift card. We have a lot that we didn't get to tonight, but I went to an event tonight. I went to a Mad Max. There's a new movie coming out, a remake. Is it a remake or reboot? What do you call these?
I think it's a remake.
Charlize Theron, isn't it, by the way?
I know. She is lovely.
She is amazing looking.
I saw the trailer. Is her head shaved in the movie?
Yes.
She does that every once in a while.
She is a fantastic.
What do you mean? She just shaves her head periodically?
She's had other movie roles where she had to shave her head, yeah.
And she can, too, by the way.
And she's beautiful no matter what?
Yes.
Pulls it off.
Well, some people don't have a good skull. It really takes a good...
Seriously.
It does. I mean,
the shape of your head so much.
There can't be any kind of abnormalities.
Not just that, but like even the how it complements the rest of your face, whether, you know, the geometric... there has to be a lot that's going on to make sure that it's in balance. Like, I don't look good with very short hair. I can't do, like... I wanted to have a buzz... Like, you know, that was popular a long time ago before you were born, but there was, women would buzz underneath, like sort of on the side now, like a bob. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Laura.
What is it, like sideways, asymmetrical hair?
It was a little asymmetrical. Yeah. I wanted to do that. I don't have the skull for it.
I can't because there's a little 666 on my head.
Oh, that would be revealing. That would tell us a lot about you. What did we mean to get that? I don't even know. There was such a long, short night was what happened tonight. I am going to Springfield on Tuesday, and I want to thank many of our listeners who have been chiming in on my Facebook page to an essay that I wrote called Never. I will probably read that next week. I think on Monday before I go back to Springfield. But it's a little bit of insight into why programs like early intervention are so important. I want to thank listeners who have been checking in on my page, on Steve Cochran's page. Annabella Val also posted on her page. And some really tremendous comments and thoughts. One mom, the story that I share is about the night that Declan was born and the ensuing months. Declan was born, my son, my younger son, was medically fragile. And it was very hard for me to cope with that. And I wanted to share that story and how important early intervention was. And for those of you who are not familiar with early intervention, it is a federally backed program. It's in every state in the country. Every state has the right to establish their own guidelines, how much money is spent, and then supplemented by federal grants. And it's from birth to 3 years old. And they're like for Declan, for example, he had speech therapy, developmental therapy, physical therapy. And because there were a lot of things that he wasn't able to do that even a newborn should be able to do. He was very low muscle tone. He was not able to breathe on his own at first. So he was on life support. And that affected a lot of his development, even in those first few months. He also suffered from seizures. So he was on phenobarbital, which obviously made him very lethargic. So being able to roll over, even to smile, were things that he wasn't capable of in those first few months. And they what they do is they dispatch a social worker coordinates a several different. Oh, no, actually, I don't know if it's a social worker. I think it's a caseworker coordinates services. And we had to have all of those speech therapy helped him learn how to swallow. And he had a developmental therapist, occupational therapist. That's the one. Wow. It was really hard. He learned by the time he was 3 years old, he learned how to pick up Cheerios between his thumb and forefinger. Which by 3 years old, I mean, no, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But when someone has told you that your son may never do some of those things,
yeah,
it becomes very important. And so I wrote this essay talking about how just traumatic those first few months were. And again, it's hard for me right now to go into it because it was cathartic for me to write this. And I know a lot of people have responded in very emotional ways. And I want to thank you, including listener Cheryl, who says she's a nightly listener and she enjoys our show. But she says we also make her think. And that is kind of when people ask me what the show is about, I would like that to be it. The kind of summing it up. We, you know, it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
And sometimes we make you think.
I have some of the other stories we meant to get to. I don't know.
Oh,
if
cool.
You
yes, please.
There's a new Hamburglar.
What?
I don't know if you've seen that.
He's creepy. Why can't we stick with the cartoony Hamburglar?
I don't know. Why do we need a real Hamburglar?
I don't. Yes.
He looks like Mayhem from the Allstate commercial.
And by the way, Mayhem has his own show now, by the way. Do you know on CBS?
Really?
He's on a show.
Yes.
It's not
what's
Mayhem.
His name? Dean Withers?
Dean Winter,
something
with something.
Like that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
No, but he's part of a CSI show or something, isn't he?
It's a cop show. It's something in Michigan, I want to say. I know. It's not doing well, but it's a fun show.
Yeah, he's good.
Yes.
I thought he's funny on the show.
He was originally on Rescue Me, the Dennis Leary
right.
show with about firefighters.
There was also a police officer that bit a man's testicles.
I mean, I understand Hot Pursuit, but this sounds like that's,
no, that
that's
was not.
Not.
I think he was off duty at the time.
Is this
somehow related to the Hamburglar?
No. These are just stories we meant to get to.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. They don't all have to be.
How does that become part of your training?
Yeah, it was an altercation during a Cinco de Mayo party.
Let's not blame it on the tequila.
That's probably not. But he ended up biting a person's testicles.
That's pretty remarkable in the sense that.
I think he's in trouble.
I think he's in a lot. Well, not just that, but psychologically, you have to sober up and go, I did what?
Why did I?
Did
that make sense at the time?
I mean, I guess if you're wrestling.
Why is this bad taste in my mouth?
That can't be. There was a study that was done why you shouldn't wash dishes by hand if you're going to put them into the dishwasher.
Tell me more.
Yeah, so there's this study that says that apparently by washing the dishes beforehand and scrubbing them,
yes,
you're actually doing more harm to the dishwasher's ability to clean them because you're putting soap and covering it with all these things that apparently makes it more difficult.
Could you please
machine.
Make this a file and send that to my husband? Can you please?
You have it. I have.
Okay, let's live here for a second.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
I believe that dishwasher dynamics, the politics of loading and unloading the dishwasher. I think this is something where maybe it doesn't destroy marriages, but it certainly puts an undue strain on them. And I know that there are they actually have like they started selling these things. It would say full or not full, dirty or clean, so that
you
would
the little magnets.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I don't. Doesn't matter to me anymore. I don't touch the dishes. I'm done. I'm out because I would load dishes and I would come back and I would see my husband reorganizing the way I had put them in. So why did I bother? I don't. What did I do wrong? What was wrong with the way I put this cup on this level and tilted it this way? And I can't.
I think you should just be glad he does it.
Well, he should be glad that I put any in there. I'm saying you want to go ahead and redo my work, then just go do the work yourself in the first place. That's all.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm saying. But yes, he washes the dishes vigorously.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason.
Yeah, and apparently it also wastes a whole lot of water. And the amount of water used by the washing machine is so much less than what humans would use.
And I would imagine it's because it heats it up so much.
And it traps it. I mean, we can't, on the plate, when you're washing with the sink, you can't really trap the water.
Whenever I think about this, and this is so random and something no one else will know, maybe like one person in our listening area.
I like the one percenters.
Andre Brower, when he was on Homicide, was I think he was laid off or had to stay home for a while. Maybe he was just suspended. But he was home doing the dishes and his wife came into the kitchen and he had filled an entire pot with water and was using that like as the scrubbing water. And it was just something I always remember because it was such a unique, like she was really annoyed with him. Like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm doing the dishes. So clearly this is something that comes up for many people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, sorry. There was also a man in Rogers Park just this week who robbed a Subway and then crossed the street to a Potbelly's to buy a sandwich.
Oh, did he rob the Subway to buy it?
He robbed the Subway, and then he went over to Potbelly's and just bought a sandwich.
That's
like
how much he really needed it.
Yeah, and how much he really hates. Really prefers Potbelly's.
Yes. I don't know if Potbelly's became a franchise, obviously, quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
I don't go into Potbelly's very often.
No? You don't like the heated up sandwich?
They're putting billboards in my neighborhood. Now, they better be putting a Potbelly's in my neighborhood. Otherwise, because I live very close to the Kennedy, I live right at the Foster exit off the Kennedy, then my husband is going to be thrilled that I'm giving you the exact coordinates.
Yeah, that's
where
pretty close.
I reside. But they often put billboards there for people just driving on the Kennedy to remind you that next
that
time
these
you
things
stop,
exist.
Yeah.
And they aren't anywhere near you.
It doesn't mean I'm going to get a Potbelly's. By the way, have you ever seen where someone will rob a bank and then catch a cab?
No.
So these robbers, I don't understand.
I got a bunch of money now. What am I going to do? Oh, let's get a taxi. There was also a study that said that beards contain a lot of poop.
Okay, so let's live here for a moment as well. Not in the poopy beards, but this conversation. Can I tell you something really awful? Because we have, and Carissa, if you're listening, you'll know, because I love Chef Richard at Knife and Tine, but I saw him come around the corner and I immediately thought of that study, but there's a backup study that says it's not true. Stop it. Stop perpetuating these lies.
Okay, good. So that's
where I live now. Not true.
So there is no poop.
The guy they studied, like, it's somebody who doesn't like bearded guys because they can't grow one. They don't have enough testosterone to grow. They have like patchy, I think they have patchy hair. So
your beard has poop in it.
Yeah, that's why they're angry.
Poop, okay?
It's not a real thing.